The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do we feel about accountability? Are we pro-accountability or are we out on accountability?
I don't think there's accountability anymore.
Anywhere?
Ladies and gentlemen, last year, our city council passed a Good Samaritan law. Now, this group from New York not only ignored, but as we will prove, they actually mocked the victim as he was being robbed at gunpoint.
Wow. Rich coming from the guy who's not held accountable here.
Gabe gets punished when you get in trouble if you're talking about accountability, a lack of accountability.
I'll admit when I'm wrong.
They have quite a record of mocking and maligning. This is a history of selfishness, self-absorption, immaturity, and greed.
All right, so outside of Chewy, are we pro-accountability?
15% of the people just did it for spite.
You think?
Yes, everyone piles on.
They have gone too far. This time, they are going to be held accountable. This time, they are the ones who will pay.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running around.
In the famous words of Vince Lombardi,
I'm cool as ever, she's too
excited. What the hell is going on out there? And by out there, I mean out in our common space here at the Good Karma Brands offices. Apparently, we have some thieves amongst us.
Yes.
And I believe it is safe to say it is not present company included. Because the good news is we can hold each other accountable. I know where you were. You know where I was. I know where he was. He knows where he was.
I don't know where any of y'all were during the time in question of the latest crime that's been committed here at GKB Milwaukee.
Please, Gabe, come on. You know we didn't do it.
I don't know that.
Okay.
Well, first off, do I eat sweets?
Chewy didn't do it.
There you go.
Do I eat sweets?
Yes.
You guys know I've been very disciplined. What have I been eating for breakfast for the last, like...
Yeah, but
six
you got
weeks.
Children.
Yeah, you did half of a water bottle that you bought on Amazon.
Yeah. Horrible. You don't
Chomps,
eat,
that's
you don't
what
eat
you eat.
Cottage cheese for breakfast. Ooh. Yeah. So we have some thieves amongst us. And this, unfortunately, is not the first time that here at our Good Karma Brands offices, things have disappeared. Gabe, would you care to share with the fine folks listening this morning the list of quote-unquote criminal activity here in our offices?
So it started back in the spring. A pizza oven that was stored away in a locked prize closet went missing. Again, emails went out about that. A few days later, the pizza oven magically did reappear.
Mm.
So I believe that was a no harm, no foul type situation.
It shouldn't be. Should lose a hand.
But it turned out that's the way it worked.
Like medieval times.
Nah, like Saudi Arabia, I think.
Yeah,
you steal
Aladdin.
Something, you lose.
I'm picturing Aladdin right now.
And then earlier this summer, a $250 Visa gift card was stolen out of somebody's desk drawer.
Ooh.
Again, both of these were supposed to be prizes in different prize packs that we had put together here. I do not believe that ever reappeared, and the company just had to, you know, buy another one to fulfill the prize that we had promised.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday we get maybe the strangest of them all, because I don't know what you're doing with all this. 10 Kringles went missing overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Our partners at Racine Danish Kringle, celebrating a 75th anniversary. I mean, Racine Danish Kringle's been a partner a long time. They sent Michelle Smallman some Kringle as part of the recruitment pitch to get her to be a Packers fan when she's doing NFL Bachelorettes. Our MC, who was responsible for these. They were frozen, took them out of the freezer at 7 o'clock a couple of nights ago, left them on the counter to thaw them out. So then yesterday morning, everybody could enjoy this, take pictures, social media, the whole nine yards. And when everybody showed up yesterday morning, the Kringle, gone.
So the email that we received at 8:55 a.m. was, "Hello, team. Maggie is putting out Kringle from O&H Danish Bakery. They are celebrating their 75th anniversary. Come and enjoy." And then we received an email shortly thereafter at 8:59 a.m. For those of you taking notes, true crime fanatics. "Never mind, they have gone missing and are no longer on the kitchen counter." Now, the information, Chu, that Gabe provided was that the night before they had been placed out on the counter because they were frozen, the thought was they can thaw overnight. They were wrapped. They were still sealed. They can thaw overnight. And tomorrow morning, yesterday, when everybody gets in at 9 a.m., right? Following the timeline here, people can enjoy some Kringle from O&H Danish Bakery. And yet there was no Kringle. It was gone. Now,
so here's the problem. You put anything on this was the first time that we've dealt with something missing that wasn't locked away. This was something that was left on an island counter that we have in our kitchen upstairs. And anytime something is placed there, it is common knowledge that you put something, especially food, it becomes fair game. So I'm curious if there was a note, "Hey, don't eat this. We need this for the morning."
If there was no note, Chew, is that on the people that put it out? Recognizing that that is sort of a common space. That is where we typically put things when they are free game.
Based on the prior thievery, yes, it's a little bit on them. Does this happen everywhere?
No.
Does this happen at every business?
I don't think pizza ovens and gift cards and Kringle just go missing at other places.
I think
of business.
You'd be surprised. I think if you put it on the poll or we had some texters on the text chain, they would say yes. This happens.
Do things
everywhere.
Go missing at your place of work?
Yes. People suck.
But also,
people suck.
They do. But also, being working at a place that houses three radio stations. The eclectic nature of the things we just have around. Again, we're missed. The things that have been stolen are a pizza oven, a gift card, and Kringle. What other business is housing those three things overnight? Usually if you bring in Kringle to the office, if you work at, a software company or whatever, you're not bringing in the Kringle the previous day and leaving it out. You're probably bringing it with you, but because
this one isn't as bad as the prior two.
In
what
agree.
World would you think that a pizza oven in a closet is fair game? Or a gift card in the desk drawer of someone's desk is fair game?
Correct.
I think the issue here, and I agree with you if you're power ranking the severity of the quote-unquote crimes, that this is not as serious as the other two things going missing, just on cost alone. But for me, it's the sheer quantity of the Kringle.
Yes, but in... Look, when you send out 473 emails a day from this company and 604 of them are weather, okay? People may dismiss some of the emails like myself. I spend more time swiping in my life than doing anything.
That's just because you're afraid of getting tricked.
That's a good point. Very good, but that's fair.
How many times does he send us a text saying, "Is this spam?"
But if there was a note on it...
In fairness, it hasn't been a while because he just deletes them all.
If it is fair game, I mean, if they put food on that counter and it's fair game and there was no note left,
yeah,
well, then they have some culpability.
10 Kringle. I mean, there's not a lot of people here overnight, and I don't know. I mean, again, the garbage, the cleaning people came, so I'm assuming the garbage was cleared out so you couldn't see, if there was any evidence left in the garbage.
Why aren't there cameras in here?
That's not a question for me.
Would you want cameras?
Sure.
We have cameras in here, obviously. Hello, for the podcast, for the stream. But out in the common areas, you want cameras? You want people monitoring where you go, who's going where? No.
No?
I mean, I guess if it comes to that, I can understand why they would do it. But here's the thing.
I mean, really, three strikes and we're out here, right?
I did a little Inspector Clouseau-ing or maybe you prefer a different detective. But I heard that people who worked the night before, were enjoying the Kringle. It was on the counter, frozen or not, and they thought, hey.
I mean, Kringle frozen is a delicious treat.
Let's crack this bad boy open and have a party. So there are teammates of ours who were enjoying Kringle that evening after they had been placed out to thaw on the counter. And I have not spoken to those people yet, but I'm guessing that they would say, we thought they were fair game.
Well, but again, 10 Kringle? There's not enough people working here overnight to consume 10 Kringles.
Well, maybe they brought them home with them. Maybe somebody was like, I'll have a couple pieces. This is fantastic. You know who would enjoy this?
That's,
my family, and brought it home with them.
That's where you cross the line. Like, we just had Justin from Cuffs and Subs was in here last week, and every time he comes, he brings us food. But yeah. He also has like one of those party packs that he brings. Like, you can't just grab that box and go, yep, this is for my kids. No, they're left on the counter for the people who work here. You don't get to take that home with you. That's not the way that works.
I feel like the taking too many of a thing that's supposed to be shared is like an inherent office issue.
Yeah, and trick-or-treating.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's where it starts. When you put a bowl out on your front stoop because you got to make the rounds with your kiddos and you hope that there's a little bit of integrity/honesty amongst the other kiddos.
That's on you.
Oh, yeah, that's on you.
Well,
that's on
I
you
learned my point. Lesson. I did it once, and I've never done it again.
I can't believe you did it once.
When I worked at the bottle-making factory that I did about 12, 15 years ago, there was often food brought in that was meant to be shared amongst all the people on that specific shift. It got to the point where someone had to stand there and monitor everyone's plate because they would order enough for the amount of people working. But some people would decide, hey, there's a sandwich here, but I actually want three. And then if you were one of the last people there, you just simply wouldn't get one. And that seems like that is like office culture to a T, which Gabe was explaining with the usually people walk away with like four cousin subs and you're like, well, what the I mean, I can see how many are here and how many people are here. Not everyone's going to have enough.
So I think we got a lot of options here as we continue to unspool this, the mystery here at the Good Karma Brands office of the 10 missing Kringle. Chewy said, one, people suck. Put it on the poll, Joshy. Do people suck? Yes or no? I feel like that one might get a really
like how many people do you see
response.
Go to Costco just to eat at the stations?
Wait a minute.
You haven't seen that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about the samples.
Yes.
Because we'll go to Costco to eat. We'll grab pizza with the
kids. No.
I was like, hold on.
The samples.
Hold on.
The samples. The one that just go from station to station.
This is a station.
Sure.
That's fine, but get the hell out of the way.
But Costco's also different because you're also paying a membership fee.
Oh, very good point.
Question.
Very good point.
So you get free food with that? That's...
I mean, you get access to the samples.
Are you allowed to have more than one of the samples? If you go to one station, there's 12 samples out there. You take a bite, you really like it. Can you have two, three, four?
Oh, they let them do whatever they want.
I would say the stipulation on that is you have to buy it. You have to go over. If you want to take more than one, you have to go over and you have to grab the bag of whatever it is. The mini corn dogs, the salsa, the egg bites, whatever it is. You got to buy it because you liked it so much. That you are going to invest in the product, which is the whole point of having the samples there anyway, right? That'd be my caveat. Yes, you can have two, but you better buy that bag. $15.99 for egg bites.
If there's somebody in line behind you, no.
So,
if people are like, you know, piling up, like you can't just be sitting there hoarding the samples while people behind you are waiting to get some too, right?
Lots
like that, you can't be doing that.
Reaction rolling in, guys. Justin says, my office had something very similar happen, and we come to find out it was the overnight cleaning crew that was coming by stealing company phones and other technology items. You should check with your cleaning crew. Throwing it out there.
Do we have a cleaning crew?
They come during the day. I see them all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Chef Edwing and saying, I don't think it's any of the on-air personalities. It's probably a random office worker. That's right, Chef Ed. It is us, the on-air personalities, and then all the other random office workers. Are you a on-air personality or are you a ROW? Are you a row?
I mean, to be honest, I think you got to start with content.
Yeah.
Because those random office workers aren't here at 7 p.m. They're not here overnight.
But who from content is here at 7 p.m.?
I don't want to start naming names.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names.
No. It's fine. Do we have any idea, Josh says, of how much 10 Kringle is worth? He says, is it more than the $250 gift card that went missing? Because maybe it does need to move up in the power rankings.
There's also a thing here where whenever something like this happens at this office, I look at content first. People here are savages. We got a lot of interesting personalities.
We're savages, we're vultures.
Well, based upon the emails, they're savages and they're slobs.
Yes.
I mean, right? Have you checked out the content sink that's down here?
Yes.
That's not great.
No.
It's like everyone walks around with their own personal maid. That's how they behave.
Brady of the 262 weighing in saying, we don't have that problem at my work. You guys should probably get the FBI involved.
I was thinking.
To answer the previous question, yes, 10 Kringle would be more than the gift card.
See? Really?
Just a quick look at a website. This Harvest Kringle is $26.49.
See, now, I'm not really blaming the person for, unless there was a note there.
Well, but again, you can't just be taking it home with you.
But also, the note teeters on passive aggressive, doesn't it? Like, if your spouse leaves you a note.
But we need to be aggressive here.
So you're saying now the onus falls on whoever leaves the things. If they don't want them eaten, they need to say, do not eat.
We have done that plenty of times with our friends at Palermo's, where they'll send us a bunch of pizza. Because usually, I mean, they've given us a pizza oven, and if you're here, again, late, overnight, you know, hey, the pizza's fair game, feel free, because Palermo's is kind enough to provide us with some pizzas for the teammate. However, when we do, like, the Palermo's pizza parties and different themes when they're releasing things, they will put notes on, hey, do not eat this. This is for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. This is for Kyle, Bruston,
and they still
Norman.
Eat it?
No.
Oh, they don't.
Those okay. stay.
And those what? Will stay. Oh. If it has the note on it, it will stay. So this is something that has happened
Why
before
Why are
the
you,
office.
Jen, anti-camera? There's cameras in the gym that we go to. There's cameras at the restaurants we go to. There's cameras at the department stores we go to. A camera would solve everything.
In those situations, those cameras are for, theft of strangers. You think usually, like, if it's your teammates, your coworkers, you could trust them.
Again.
Well, obviously we can't.
Look, so, this is strike three, man. Like, I don't know what else to tell you, Josh. Like, if we're implementing a three strike policy, we're out.
And we do need to get to Jason Wilde very quickly here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There is this concept called panopticon. Are you familiar with panopticon surveillance?
No.
Which is just that the presence of a camera.
Fake one?
Could be.
Okay.
It's the idea where in prison, they have that guard station in the middle. And
yes.
You can't see into the guard station, so you never know if there is a guard. Could be one there, might not be one there. But either way, that discourages bad behavior. I wonder if just the presence of a camera would discourage people from taking things that are not theirs. I will also tell you this. It immediately reminded me of the scene from Billy Madison where they say, who would steal 30 bag lunches? When Chris Farley's over there just absolutely mashing the kids' sandwiches next to the bus.
We got to get to Jason. Sasquatch.
We got to get to Jason Wilde. He's coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready? All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Jason, how are you doing today?
Jen, lad, I'm good. How are you?
We are good because we did not steal any Kringle, but that's another story for another day. Hashtag save the Kringle. We will continue following that, looking for leads as the morning goes on. Jason?
There's no investigator I'd want on the case more than Mark.
Are you serious? He would give up after 6 minutes. He'd be like, well, no answers here, so.
Speaking of investigating, can you tell LaFleur to stop with the Johnny High School stuff? Oh, he's not out. He's not out.
Oh, the door's pretty open.
I mean,
yeah,
enough.
The pretty open. Yeah, so help me understand why we're doing this. Like, because look, we talked about this a little bit, I think briefly on Tuesday, this whole idea with the running back kid for the 49ers saying that, yeah, they told him on Friday he was going to start, and then they didn't tell anyone that Christian McCaffrey was going to be out until the inactive list came out. And then Shanahan claiming that that wasn't accurate, what the kid said. And I just, like, you could tell guys are trying to say it in a way that holds, including Malik Willis, are trying to say it in a way that holds out hope that Jordan Love's going to play in this game. And I don't understand it. I did a hit with the ESPN Indianapolis crew this morning, and they're the same way. Like, they're like, does he think that the Colts are really falling for this? I don't understand what the point is to this. You can be optimistic without pretending that he's going to play. Now, look, I'll be happy to come on Monday, even though it's not my day, and admit to the entire world that I'm an idiot and I was too dismissive of this as gamesmanship if Love actually plays. But it's just everything we know about this organization, everything we know about this medical staff, everything we know about Jordan Love's bright future with this team would tell me that even if it's only a pain tolerance thing with an MCL, you just don't want to risk that with him and the stability of his knee. And the next thing you know, you got him out there, he gets twisted wrong, and he blows out his ACL, and now you're really in deep doo-doo.
And isn't this a situation, Jason, where they're denying that they reached out to Ryan Tannehill because they want to build up the confidence of Malik Willis, but also
right. By
leaving the door open, that's kind of telling me that they don't really believe in Malik Willis.
Amen, brother. I had the same thought. And Malik Willis is up there yesterday talking to us, trying to, you know, leave the door open for Jordan Love, too. Well, we're all trying to ask questions about, you know, the excitement and the process that he's going through and all this other stuff. I don't understand it. I'm not trying to be a jerk to LaFleur. I just don't think this is his, like, lane. Like, he does some great commercials for Bell and Health up here. They're really funny. They're really well-written. They're entertaining. But I just don't think he's that great of an actor, and it feels like he's trying to play a game here that I don't understand the upside, because I don't think Shane Steichen and Gus Bradley are over there thinking, well, we better have two game plans, one for Malik Willis and one for Jordan Love.
Jason, speaking of Malik Willis, by all accounts, he is a very nice young man. People say he is polite. And they root for him. And if it sounds like I'm doing the old compliment sandwich thing, well, I am.
When you start talking about a football player's personality.
Hear me out.
Ha.
Spoke to some people who cover the Titans, and Ty Dunn compiled, along with Bob McGinn, the reaction, the analysis of many, many, many NFL scouts. Now, are they always correct? No, they're not. That's a caveat that I will throw out there. But I got to tell you, Jason, pretty universally, the reviews are not great. And I think the thing that startled me the most was a statement that I gathered yesterday, which was, and I'm just pulling up my phone, which is where I'm keeping this information, struggles with football. How optimistic should Packers fans be about Malik Willis's ability to win them a game on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't. Couple things. First of all, he does seem like an authentically nice kid. We actually had a conversation after the group dispersed, because I don't pretend to be one of the people that you mentioned there. I try to be pretty ethical. And when I ask questions, I try to be pretty respectful. I think people like Charles Woodson would tell you that I can ask the tough questions when they're required, but I'm respectful of players. I think that's part of the equation of doing this job well and doing it the right way. Yesterday with Malik, one of the things I asked him toward the end, because I am not very good at jumping in at the right time. I'm really bad at timing when it comes to these pressers. But one of the things that I asked him was that he seemed so calm and even keeled in terms of how he was dealing with us. And I said, obviously, when you talk to us, it's not the same as when you're on the field or when you're with your teammates. I said, is this how you kind of always are? Is this your real personality? Because we're still getting to know you. And his answer to me was, I'm not sure how to answer that. I know y'all be trying to get us, so I just be trying to keep it cool with y'all. I don't want no beef, I swear. To which I wondered, who hurt you? Because I didn't think that that was a question that would lead to beef, as it were. So I talked to him afterward, and we had a very good conversation. I was like, look, man, we're going to ask tough questions if you struggle, but we're not out to get you around here. And we had a good – and so I do think that he is – the point of telling this story is not to be able to quote him and say beef, because I always enjoy – we've got beef! But I think what I learned from that interaction is he's got scars from his time in Tennessee. And what I would say about him, and I've said this for years, Tausch will tell you this. I think I even have mentioned it earlier in the week that, you know, Tausch always says he went to the right situation. He had this 11-year NFL career in part, not because he had great feet or because he was determined. All those parts of his success story that he deserves credit for, he should take credit for. But he also went to a situation where he got an opportunity, he seized it, and had success, right? You look at what Malik Willis has been through, and you look at what Jordan Love struggled with in 2020 and 2021 after he was drafted. If Jordan Love had had to play, he would not have been very good, right? We know what he did in 2021 against the Chiefs. The plan that the Tennessee Titans had for this guy was like the Love plan in Green Bay. It was sit him behind Ryan Tannehill for 2 years, and then he develops, and then in his third year, he could be really good. And instead, you know, Tannehill gets hurt. He starts three games as a rookie. He is not very good. No touchdowns, three picks, 49 passer rating. Then they fire the general manager who drafted him in December of his rookie season, hire another GM who clearly does not think he's any good. So this guy drafts Will Levis. So now the clock is ticking on how long Malik Willis is going to be a Titan. They would have probably should have traded him after they drafted Will Levis, but they didn't. Then they keep him for another year. Then they fire Mike Vrabel. So the kid gets his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Actually did some decent things in preseason. I understand it's preseason. And then he gets traded, and now he's in his fourth system. I don't care how scouts view him. I don't think that situation lends itself to success. So do I have all kinds of confidence that he's going to light the world on fire when he plays on Sunday against the Colts? Unless, of course, Jordan plays? No, I don't. But I'm not sure that he's as bad as he may be depicted when he's been in the situations he's been in. Is that fair?
Yes. Very. It's a good job, Jason. Jason, what's the plan at right guard this game? Are they still going to rotate? And yes, thoughts on Josh Myers? Because me and Gabe watched a little film, and he didn't look great.
Yeah, first of all, I think that they're prepared to rotate all season long at right guard.
Really?
You know, LaFleur was asked about that on Monday, and he made it very clear he's in no hurry to declare a winner. Now, do I believe that they will rotate all 17 games if everyone on the offensive line stays healthy? I don't. But apparently they like this idea. They liked it with Sean Ryan last year with John Runyon, and they're prepared to keep doing it. So, yes, I think they will definitely do it on Sunday against the Colts. You know, look, Josh Myers, I talked to him for a little while yesterday. Like, I agree. I didn't break down the film to the extent that you or Bulaga did, but you saw him in real time, mm-hmm, the times when he had some issues. And now you add to his plate, like, if Malik Willis is starting, you know, he was telling me he does all the run declarations for the line already. So, which makes sense because he's a fourth-year player. You would hope he's able to handle that part of it. But he's clearly going to have to handle some more of the protection calls in the pass game too, right? Because Malik Willis just doesn't know them. He's still learning this offense. And so if you add that to his plate, and then he has to play at the level that you need him to play at, that is a lot. So I think he does need to play better, and he has to be able to manage all these extra responsibilities.
What do you want to ask Jeff Hafley today?
Ooh, I haven't thought about that yet. That's not till 3:45. You know, I take it one conversation at a time, Gabe.
Can't get too far ahead of ourselves, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to say to Tausch. But I would say this. I'm really curious when he looks at, because LaFleur told us this yesterday. I told this to the team, he said, which, again, I don't know what to believe, what he's talking to me now, right, this week or not, but the biggest jump for a defense is from week one to week two. So how big of a jump is realistic to expect, and what exactly was the issue during that 16-play, 67-yard, 7.5-minute death march? I know you got hosed on a call, whatever, but you got to get off the grass, and why didn't you? I think that'll be part of the conversation as well, because that was the ball game right there.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Great stuff, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after this very program here on ESPN Milwaukee. All right, we got to take a break. Lots of stuff to get to this morning. We will continue talking about Jordan Love's chance to play, which we all believe to be pretty low. But Chewy had a great idea as far as how the Packers can, maybe the word is, hide Malik Willis out there. We'll get to that as the show rolls on.
Tune in to the Analysis Show each and every week, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Adetokunbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversation. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, the chat he had with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find the Analysis Show. Subscribe to the Analysis Show on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Go to YouTube as well to get the exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures.
Yeah.
What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, want to make sure that we are not being portrayed, perceived as the negative Nancys, as the Debbie Downers of Packers Nation. But when you start gathering information on the guy who will be under center, Malik Willis, it does feel like he has a long way to go. And that's a nice way of putting right now, it feels like, based on people we have spoken to, if you get a chance, Ty Dunn and Bob McGinn have compiled the assessments by, I don't know, a dozen? There's like a dozen NFL scouts who have given their assessment of Malik Willis. Go ahead and read it. Take a look. We are just reporting the information that is out there when it comes to this kid's ability to process the information he is seeing on the field pre-snap and post-snap. So, Chewy, I go to you on this. If you're the offensive coordinator, if you're Matt LaFleur, how are you scripting that first series? Because you got to give Malik Willis every chance to be successful early with the hopes that it builds confidence in not only him, but the rest of the team that he can actually go out there and get the job done.
It's going to be run heavy. It's not going to be 90% run, 10% pass, but it'll maybe be 50-50. I would say in the first five, he's going to take a shot. He's going to take a shot. He's going to say, Watson's here. We're going to set it up to where they can't play cover two and just throw it in rhythm, five steps, hitch, throw, just so they can't settle. You know, you got to have some threat over the top to give them a little breathing room. And then
what if he throws a really bad one? Does the defense then go, okay, we don't have to respect that?
I think you go back to it.
I mean, I think
intermediate. Maybe you don't go deep ball.
No,
maybe you go intermediate.
I think you just uncork it. Just tell them to uncork it wherever it goes. Because if it's not cover two and it's cover three,
yeah,
you can do things to influence that safety so he cannot help Watson on the single receiver side. So it's just him and the DB. So yeah. It would have to be a god-awful throw in order for that safety to come over there. And then, you know, there'll be a lot of boots, which boots are easy for a quarterback because all it is layered. And they're not going to tell him to look long there. It's going to go...
guy right in front of you.
The crossing route. They'll go crossing route and do it quickly. Crossing route, lower crossing route, run. There's going to be a lot of run. Okay? And then in the passing game, they're going to say, don't even look backside. We don't give a crap. We don't give a
crap. So you're limiting half the field.
Cut the field in half.
Yes. Cut the field in half. Go here. Here's where I think is going to be your throw. Okay? Do it quickly. You're either on him, you throw it, and then you're on to the next guy, and then run. That's the only way you can do it. But in thinking, this would be wonderful, and I would give LaFleur all the props. I would take back Johnny High School. If his smokescreen was, hey, Jordan's not out. He's not out. And they actually, you know, they've said it all week long that Malik's a guy. And then at the start of the game, they trot out Clifford. That would be wonderful. That would be great. That would be the greatest smokescreen in Packer history.
Our guy just loves drama. Our guy can't help
Wouldn't
himself.
That be great, though? Because right now,
no.
after the information you got in and all the stuff we read, why they're not starting Clifford, I have no idea.
Because he stinks. So does Malik. They're having a stink-off.
Yeah, but at least...
a good old-fashioned stink-off.
That would be wonderful, though, wouldn't it?
It'd be something.
I don't know if I'd use the word wonderful. I'm with Jen. It would be something. I don't know if wonderful is that something.
Are you saying you think Clifford would be a better option simply because
he knows
the offense? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just.
But he doesn't know what he's doing.
He does. It's so simple.
Clear, he doesn't.
Well, hold on. Is it a yips thing with Clifford? I mean, because again, we talked about it. Like last year, we were saying, "Oh, this is a good pick by Goody. It's a good backup quarterback." And oh, by the way, I watched this kid play at Penn State. He was not a bad quarterback at Penn State. We also watched Malik Willis play at Liberty. It is so interesting to me that these guys can be the top tier quarterbacks at their position in college, get drafted into the NFL, and then
I know
you can't cut it.
But you know why that is, Jen? And I said it many a times. I don't think I've said it recently. It's like I always thought the jump from high school to college would be equal or maybe as big as the jump from college to pro. It ain't even close. The jump from college to the pros is astronomical because everyone can – the guys that suck in the pros can play football. How many players are going to be drafted out of Kansas this year? Not that you'd know.
Two or three, maybe.
Maybe a third or a fourth or a fifth round draft pick.
Random team to go to, but yes.
You know?
They were a top 25 team. Illinois rushed the field against them.
A couple of good quarterbacks.
Everyone can play in the pros. And it took, you know, I remember my first year, I couldn't, you have to know so much information that you can't even process it.
They're
you forget the run
more
sometimes.
Yeah, they're asking you a lot more in the pros.
So what is the ratio going to be of run-pass in this game? Is
50,
it a 70-50?
Well, it depends 50. On what the score is.
I'm hoping for like
70-30 run-pass. Yeah,
I was about to say, I was going to go 80-20 based on everything I've seen about 100%. Malik Willis.
But again, I agree with you. They do have to be able to throw the ball downfield early because you got to keep the defense honest. Otherwise, they'll just load the box. And the person I spoke to that's affiliated with the Tennessee Titans said, we could do that. With Tennessee, we have Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And with Derrick Henry, even if they load the box, he can still gain yards after contact.
I don't think it matters. I mean, sure, take your shots downfield. They're going to load the box anyway.
Yeah. They also tried it last week and failed.
Yeah, but you know what this game's going to be? It's a for the Packers offense, it's going to be a game of 3-yard chunks. If second and 7, third and 4. Okay. Got the first down. Second and 8. Third and six. Okay.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
That's
honestly,
what the games are going to be.
What are your options at third and nine with a guy you don't feel comfortable with throwing it down the field?
Quarterback draw.
I was about to say. No, you said, what are your options? The option.
When you were talking about the split up of pass run, they might call 50-50, but he's going to run so much. It's probably going to be 70-30.
Wildcat sounds pretty good right now.
Oh, man. Wishbone? Wishbone? Anybody for the wishbone?
It wouldn't surprise me if they put some Wildcat in either.
Bring in somebody from one of the service academies, try to
Star
run the triple option.
I got the film. They could run Star Wars. Good luck.
800-990-3776. Your reaction to this week's game where we believe Malik Willis will be starting again. You know, they're trying to kind of put the red herring out there, but I'm not sure that anybody is buying it. Although Chewy said conspiracy theory. What if Sean Clifford is actually the guy and they are just using Malik Willis as a smokescreen? Whether
great.
You're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee, and you will enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think's a pretty good deal. Right. Which gets me in trouble. Life.
You got a Viagra ring?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Next edition of Behind the Bucks is here on Bucks Plus Audio Network. It's presented by Gallagher. Bucks stars share their experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics, from battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Find it at bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekly wager last night with Greg Matzik, Ben Brust, and I from the Potawatomi Sportsbook. You missed my best bet of the week. Although I'm sure that some people will throw this back in my face. But my best bet of the week, Joshy, do we have the audio from last night? All right, let me tell you what I feel confident in this week, and I hope that people won't come at me, but this is where I really feel like there is value. I'm looking at the Packers-Colts game. We don't know what to expect from Green Bay. I am staying far away from any of the wagers that you might place on that team. However, I really like this number I am seeing, total touchdowns by the Indianapolis Colts, guys. You can get plus 118 for the over 2.5. I think the Indianapolis Colts, with Jonathan Taylor, with Anthony Richardson, and their cast of characters, will find the end zone at least 3 times.
Ooh, and at least there.
Well, it's 2.5.
I know. But
2.5. If I said at least 2, it could lose.
I know. I'm just you're saying you're leaving room for 4, you know? Hey, Chris, send the audio to Josh DiMaggio, please.
Which he obviously So over did. 2.5, Indianapolis Colts, plus 118. That is my best bet of the weekend. What do you think?
No?
The Indianapolis Colts can't score 3 touchdowns on this Green Bay Packers run defense?
No. Actually, I picked the Packers to win 17-14 in overtime.
That's cute.
This is going to be...
You going to hit him with the ribbit or not here? What are we doing?
Just hold on to the button until Monday. Might not be overtime. Look, this is going to be a crap... Like the Bears win. The Bears win like such garbage, right?
Yeah.
They were getting worked. All of a sudden, block punt. This is what this game is going to be like.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Anthony Richardson's a little bit better than Will Levis.
Yeah,
I don't think Anthony Richardson's going to backhand a Brett a pick six and then go, no,
how'd
with
the
his
defense,
hands on
how'd
his
the
head.
Defense play last week?
The Packers defense?
As a whole.
As you would say, caca.
See, I thought the first half, he was dialed.
He gave up 17 points the second quarter.
Well, the first quarter, I thought, was dialed.
But remember, all of this has to be pushed through the prism of you were at a bar watching the game. Remember, that was what you said.
Good point. Yeah, but I thought he was handling Kellen Moore for the first quarter, right? He had him confused. And you must say, Philly's offense is miles ahead of Indy's offense.
Sure.
At home?
Malik Willis is... You're telling... I mean, Malik Willis, I promise you this. Malik Willis is going to have a turnover that is going to give the Colts a short field. I feel confident in that.
I just think LaFleur in these situations is pretty darn good at coming up with a game plan.
Yeah, just like when, you know, Jordan Love scored 7 points against the Kansas City Chiefs. It was fantastic.
The Colts offense does not scare me.
Should.
Why?
You don't like Jonathan Taylor?
I do, but he didn't do anything last week.
Shouldn't that make you scared?
I'd give him 100 yards. Give him 100 yards.
How many scores?
For him? Mm-hmm. None.
Okay.
I'm not. There's a reason the line is three, Gabe.
You
saw. There's a reason the line is three, and the reason, there's a reason it hasn't moved. It hasn't moved.
Every once in a while, Vegas makes a mistake.
And you think this is going to be?
It's not going to be pretty, man.
All right.
What do you mean by not pretty? What, are you thinking like a 3-touchdown loss?
I'm predicting 24-10. Like, I just don't know how the Packers move the football. Like, Malik Willis is, again, going back to Jen, and when we looked it up yesterday, in the 3 starts he made for Tennessee, he didn't go over 100 yards passing.
No, I know.
And they were able to, they won one of those games because Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry, but Josh Jacobs isn't Derrick Henry. Like, if Josh Jacobs runs the ball like he did in the first half, I just don't know how they're moving the football consistently.
That's why,
like,
I don't know why
they're
going with them.
The Packers got a bunch of big chunk plays last week, which is great.
Yeah.
But you need a little bit more consistency. I just don't know how they move the ball enough, Chew, to score 3 times.
Well, one's going to be an overtime. A field goal.
Yeah, this game is going to be tied at the end of regulation.
Yes, 14-14.
Holy hell.
You could get some good money on betting on a tie, by the way, through four quarters.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Like, if you're looking for good odds.
Your next investment deal should be that. Swing over to Potawatomi Sportsbook and put some money on the tie outcome.
I do find it interesting, the Colts implied total based on the point spread and the spread there is only 21.5. So Jen is cutting a thin margin. I'm very fearful of a lot of plays on that defense that even if they look good through 3 quarters, like, how long can these guys hold up? It's the second game of the season. And if Anthony Richardson, who is about Derrick Henry size, and Jonathan Taylor just keep bashing you, I'm worried about just a wear and tear effect of
floodgates opening. Yeah.
What's the under over?
40.5.
Well, and again, guys, to your point, Joshy, if Malik Willis and the offense can't stay on the field, you get that defense out there and then they're gasping for air because they've been out there for, you know, I don't want to see a time of possession of 40 for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. It's very possible.
I have not heard. Have you heard one good thing about Malik Willis other than he's a good kid? Has any scouts,
no.
Any reporter, any coach?
That Liberty any team?
I've seen athletic.
Fast.
I've seen cannon of an arm, and you meant can run. Those are, but again, struggles with football. That was the first quote after nice guy, good kid, very polite.
They're playing football on Sunday, right?
I believe that is
okay.
The case, yes.
It's okay, all right. That's...
Struggles with football, guys. You know, and again, this guy doesn't have any reason to sit here and just badmouth Malik Willis or bash Malik Willis. And I got some people jumping in the ESPN Milwaukee text line that are like, oh, you guys are so down on this team. We are just telling you the information that we have. We haven't seen him play, so we're going off of people who have.
If it's a disaster on Sunday, we have to go after Goody on Monday, right?
Absolutely. Just for the quarterback position, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you kind of have to go after LaFleur, too.
I agree. That'll be fun for Monday. Put a pin in it. Who's more responsible for the loss? For the game that hasn't even happened yet. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. Top 8 at 8 coming up in the second hour of the show.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.